Turn with us to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 18. Try to read a few verses of Scripture this morning. I guess I could agree with all the other men that have stood. I was content, Brother Larry, just watching, listening to the Lord, and the good singing and the good preaching, but I appreciate. I guess I'd be lying to you if I didn't say on the way, the drive down this morning, if I didn't have a burden in my heart. But I'm interested in your prayers this morning. I'm for certain the least among the least of the brethren at the house this morning. There's no doubt in my mind. And I sure can't do nothing if the Lord don't come by and help us this morning. And I just have a desire to mind the Lord. I don't know how you other men feel. I know that the two preachers prior to me mentioned that maybe they'd just testify. If that's what the Lord leads, that'll be fine. But I'll be honest, if the Lord would let me, I'd like to preach. I don't know. Maybe that's selfish or something, I'm not sure, but I like to preach when the Lord will come by and help me. I don't know how much preaching's in me, but I'll try to do my best this morning to let the Lord have His way. 2 Kings chapter 18, and starting in the first verse. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Eli, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, the king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images, cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city." And I guess that's as far as we'll read this morning out of the Word of God. I desire an interest in your prayers. If you would, please pray for me just a few minutes. I feel awful unworthy to even preach this message. The Lord just put this thought on my heart and tried to find something else maybe to preach, but somehow the Lord just keeps bringing us back here. I heard a story several years ago of there was a woman in a church, and she came down to the altar several times a year, and as she began to pray, she would cry out to the Lord, and she'd say, "Lord, please remove the cobwebs from my life." And a few weeks or months later, she'd be back in the altar, and she'd be saying, "Lord, please remove the cobwebs from my life." And she did this time after time after time, and one morning she came down the altar and began to pray. And she said, "Lord, would you please remove the cobwebs from my life?" And one of the elder deacons from the church spoke up and said, "Lord, would you please kill the spider that's in her life?" And if the Lord had me for just a few minutes, that's what I want to preach on. I don't know. This may be an unusual thought, Brother Cletus, but this is all that I have on my heart this morning. I wish the Lord this morning would help us to kill the spiders that are in my life and in your life. I don't know how you are this morning, but I know this, and it's already been made mention both times this morning of the preacher brethren, that we are sinners, saved by the grace of God. And there's no doubt in my mind I'm the worst sinner among us this morning. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But I thought about this as I began to pray and meditate on this message, and the Lord began to move my heart. And I began to think about here, as the Bible said, Hezekiah. And if you read before Hezekiah and you read after Hezekiah, you'll read about kings that would come into to power, and they would begin to reign, and they might do a few good deeds here and maybe destroy a few things, but they always kept things to them. Maybe they might, maybe I remember one king, I can't remember the name in particular, but he began to destroy and slay all the prophets of Baal, but he kept the two golden images. He didn't kill them completely, and they was always a hindrance and a bother in his life. And I don't know how you brethren are, but I find myself oftentimes on my knees before God. And I come back confessing the same sins, realizing that the cobwebs once again have built up in my life.
And I don't know how you are, but I'm going to decide among the Lord this morning, and if I don't get much preaching done, it'll be okay. But I can remember several times I'd get down to the point, I'd begin to get things cleaned up, and I'd have my life just like where I thought it needed to be, and I'd have the sin removed, and I feel like I was going to do okay. And then I'd come up on that little spider, and I'd look at him, and there he'd be, just crouched down in the corner, and I'd think to myself, he don't look like he's going to do any harm. He's not going to bother anybody. I'll just leave him down there where he's at. Now, I don't know if I'm making any sense tonight. This morning, maybe I'm not even getting my point across. But there'll be times in my life I'll think I'm not going to do this anymore. I'll begin to then throw it out or do away with it. I'll tuck it in the bottom drawer. I'll put it back where nobody else can see it. Maybe out of sight or out of mind, because it looks so harmless and it looks so defenseless, and it couldn't hurt anybody. And I don't know how you other brethren are, but there'll be times that I'll even try to talk to the spider, and I'll say, now listen, I'm not going to bother you. You don't bother me. You just stay over here. I won't worry about you, and you won't worry about me. But the thing about talking to a spider, he don't understand what you're talking about. By the time you get his mess cleaned up, you turn me back on him, and there he is. He's building out of cobwebs, and something else is hindering in our lives. I would to God this morning that some of us would go ahead. Somebody said, I don't know what you're talking about. I believe every one of us have got spiders in our life. Sins we go back to. Temptations we know about. But rather than do away with them, we'll try to put them aside or hide them out of the way. But I would to God this morning that He'd give us the strength, not just to clean the webs up, but to go ahead and kill what's causing the problem. I tell you something this morning. I'm as guilty as an eggs. I know things that hinder me, and I'll give them to that point. I'm ready to do away with them. And somebody, I'll think to myself, what's somebody going to think? Or what's somebody going to do? I'm going to tell something this morning. I don't know how you other men are. I'm down back to the point. I don't worry about what other men think about me anymore. They've talked about me, and some of them have written me off. Some of them have written me off for coming to this camp meeting. But I can't help that. I just want to be where God said, where He's been uplifted this morning. I may get written off. But I take something this morning. The Owens family sang a few moments ago. I know Him, and He knows me. Nobody else may know who I am this morning, but He knows me, and I know Him. And I take some today. I don't want to be like John on the Isle of Patmos, but if He puts me there, as long as His Spirit will come where I'm at, and I can know Him, and He can know me, I'll take it this morning. Amen. Hezekiah come into power. He began to reign. The Bible said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He began to remove the high places and break down the images, cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made for unto those the children of Israel, did burn incense to. And Brother Cletus made, Brother Eastwood made mention a few moments ago about the Catholics and how they go to the cross, and they have the crosses on their necks and different things. I'm not here to run down any church. I just want to mind the Lord this morning. But I'm going to tell something this morning. I should go out to the cross that Calvary's built out here in front of the building. And some people do that. I'll tell you what they do. They worship the cross rather than the Word that was done on the cross. And that brazen serpent, when it was in its time, it healed the people. And it was bitten by the fiery serpent. It served its purpose. But can I tell you something this morning? It was not the brazen serpent that healed the people. It was being obedient to God. And looking on that He created. We live in a world today where people worship the Creator and the creation more than the Creator. They'll worship trees. They'll worship rocks. They worship all these things. I'm going to do the Lord's will this morning. We worship Him today. I'm trying to stay on my thought this morning. If Lord, help me just a minute. Hezekiah, now you read someone about Hezekiah. He's in over the next two or three chapters, and you'll find him again in the book of Isaiah, chapter 39. You can read about the king Hezekiah. Most of the time, there was some trouble would come, but every time it came, he began to go to the Lord, and the Lord would help him. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. Had he not started out by destroying all these images, and not just cleaning them up and putting them in the closet, but he destroyed them and done away with them. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Had he not done that, he might have been tempted. I should go back to those serpents. I should go back to those images. But he killed the spider. He wasn't looking in anymore. He cleaned the cobwebs out. But God this morning helped him kill the spiders in his life. I don't know, this might be very much preaching, I don't know. I thought about this, and I'm trying to be mindful of time this morning. And I thought about all since the Levitical law came into place, and I guess you could go all the way back to Adam when God had to kill the animal to give them clothing. The blood had to be shed. And you know, Bible readers are very familiar with this. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And we're all very aware of that. We're also aware of this. Everything that was done in the Old Testament, that was a shadow of better things to come. It was something done for better things to come. When they took the lamb and they set it aside and the priest purified themselves, that was all done in dread, representation of that one day the Lamb of God would come and die on the cross of Calvary. And when the priest walked inside the holiest of holies, having the priest's garments on, and the blood on his ear, and his great and his thumb, and his great toe on his right foot, when he walked in there and began to spread that blood over the mercy seat, that was just a shadow of what was coming. How can I tell you what they were doing? They were cleaning off of the cobwebs, but that did not have the ability to kill the spider. And I'm so glad 2,000 years ago when Christ hung on the cross of Calvary, he didn't just clean the cobwebs off. He had the power. His blood had the ability to kill the spider this morning. That's why Paul said, he began to talk about these sins. I'm glad today that when Christ's blood was applied to my life, he took away these sins this morning. All the other ones were cleaning the cobwebs off, but the blood of Calvary had the ability to kill the spider. To kill the spider. I don't know, maybe that's... I got a little joy about that. Preacher, that's not about worshiping and being glad. That made me glad. Thinking about that the blood of Christ had the ability to not just to cleanse me from my sins, but to take away the sin. The sin, what's that sin? That's the sin that Adam committed in the Garden of Eden when disobedience came. We were all sinful creatures. But I'm thankful when the blood of Calvary was applied to my life that that sin was taken away from me. Their sin nature was taken away. I'm so thankful for that this morning. I don't know. I may end up preaching more to myself than to anybody else. Now, I'm being mindful of time. I'm fixing to close in just a minute. But I thought about sometimes in my life, I don't know. I told you I was the worst of all of you, and I mean it. And I may be so honest, you may never let me preach again. I just try to be honest. I found myself, Brother Miss Smith, a lot of times on Saturday night, or maybe early Sunday morning, down on my knees, saying, "Oh Lord, I got to climb up behind this pulpit and preach to your people." And I got them same cobwebs that was there before. They're back in my life. And I'd begin to pray and God would clean out the cobwebs. And I'd go on the next week. I'm not talking about... just somebody said, "Well, you must be talking about drinking or going out with other women or doing something." That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking the Bible. I believe the Bible says this. Is it not the little foxes that spoil the vines? It's those little spiders. You come in and there's a big spider in your life. Those are easy to get rid of. I'm talking about those little ones. Get right up in the corner and build them little cobwebs. All they do is make the place look barren and cause hindrances in your life. That's the spiders I'm talking about this morning. These sins, they hinder us from week to week. I would this morning I don't know how you brethren are, but I'll pray that prayer on Saturday or Sunday. I'll find myself a week later back on my knees saying, Lord, it's me again. I'll let that little spider come back in my life. The Lord will clean me up and shine on that spider and say, kill it. But my problem is I've got this mess cleaned up. And I look at him. I think he can't do anything to hurt me. He's so little. He's not going to bother me. I just let him be. He's over in the corner, cowered down. But think about that spider. He may look innocent. He may look like he can't bother you. But you let him go to build them webs again. And it won't be very long. If you let him go long enough, he'll build such a web you'll get tangled up in it. Be so wrapped up in his sin you won't know which way to go. Which way's up, which way's down. You can't turn sideways. And you find yourself. I heard a preacher preach last night about trying to pray. And the heavens being shut up. And felt like he was praying to brass. It was just coming back on him. I've prayed many a prayer just like that. But I'll tell you what I've done. I've done what the book of Chronicles teaches us. And when I realized what I was, realized I'd been cut off, I began to confess what I was. I believe he said, if my people, which are called by my name, I shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. He said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I tell you what I've done a few times. I've been praying. Felt like he wasn't getting anywhere. And I got my heart where it needed to be. And the Spirit began to make intercession. And it felt like my prayers were going beyond the roof, going beyond the clouds, beyond the stars and the moon. I was right there in the throne of God. My petitions were being made. The intercessor was listening to my prayers. He began to clean up my cobwebs and give me some strength that killed some spiders this morning. I don't know. Maybe this is preaching. I may be this testifying too. That'll be alright. I'm not looking to my name to be uplifted anyway. But I thought it's John the Baptist come out preaching. He preached a very simple message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When John was locked up in prison, and Jesus began his ministry, preached the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm of this sort. I've been honest all the time. I guess I'll just go ahead and just spell out the truth. I wasn't raised up old timey at all. I think I may have told y'all this last year. I can't remember. I was raised up in a big church, modern church. And we didn't have old timey worship. I didn't know nothing about it. I never knew anything about old timey worship. The preacher, I'm going to just mind the Lord this morning. I think I told y'all this last time. I'm just going to mind the Lord again this year. I may be like you, brother. I just have to tell it again. But I was a 10-year-old boy in that big church we was raised up in. We had a preacher come in, preach the revival, and I was looking for the Lord. Them other men said they weren't looking for him. I had a void in my heart, and I wanted some help. And I was in that service, and the preacher gave an invitation, had everybody stand to their feet, and had everybody close their eyes, and he began to pray a prayer. And he asked us all to pray the prayer with him. And I'll be honest with you, 10 years old, I didn't know a whole lot about truth and what wasn't the truth. I said every word the preacher man said. When he paused, I paused. When he skipped, I said every word he said. And he got through praying. He said, all right, everybody look at me. He said, if you prayed this prayer and you meant it, he said, you just got saved. And I remember as a 10-year-old boy thinking to myself, so this is all there is to it. I'd heard people, a few people talk about it, and they'd talk about how good it was. And I remember thinking, well, I guess this is all there really is to it. This is all there is to salvation. But I went home that night, and I still couldn't sleep in the bed. And I went a few more weeks, and I was in trouble. And my daddy had a first cousin. Her husband was an old-timey preacher man. He was preaching revival just down the road, and they'd ask him to come to revival. I turned 11 by this time. Brother Dale, I went to the old revival meeting. And I walked in the door, and I remember sitting on the pew, and they began to sing. It was a much smaller church than this. It was a little old country church. It wasn't very big at all. And they began to preach. And I don't know what all the preacher man preached, but I remember him saying more than one time, if you die where you're at, you're going to end up in hell. And I knew that. And I kept trying to think to myself, what about that? What about that prayer you done prayed? But every time I'd think that, Lord would trouble up in my heart. And I knew it wasn't good enough. And I sit there in trouble, and I got under conviction. And I began to weep, and I began to cry. And I was sitting on the very end of the pew. And I remember I'd leave out just a little bit, and I'd feel a little better. And I'd put that behind that pew, and the preacher was saying, come. And I'd lean out, and I think that's a little better. And I'd come back, and there was that old conviction. And I finally took all the faith I had. I took that one step out in the aisle and began to go towards that altar. And you talked about floating away on the clouds. I felt like I walked on the clouds all the way down to the altar. And when I got the altar that night, the preacher didn't bother me. Nobody talked to me. I began to talk to God. And what I couldn't say, the Spirit said. What I couldn't do, God did. He killed the spider. He cleaned me up. I got up that morning and that evening, and the preacher said, what happened, sir? I said, the Lord saved me. Oh, glory to God. That night, I didn't have to have the closet I left on. I felt like a baby saved in the arms of God this morning. And he killed the spider in my life. Took away that old man that I sinned, but I was, and gave me a new creature. I wish I could say that I left from that moment and got an old-timey church. This went from there, but I was still just 11 years old. And I began to go to the same churches that I was raised in. And I guess I was about 15 years old. And I went to spend that with my buddies from school. He was a member of a little old Methodist church over close to Double Bridges. Brother Kevin Brooks, I know where that is. It's close to, kind of close to where he pastors. Union's the name of the church. They had old-timey worship when I got there. And I hadn't been a part of it in 4 or 5 years. But when that singing began to go, and then people began to testify, I didn't feel out of place. I thought to myself, this is what I like. And I began to search for that, and I still went back to church with my mother and daddy, and then thank God for a good wife that was raised up in an old-timey church. And I began to date her, and we'd go to her old-timey church. There's no United Methodist Church in Whitesboro, Alabama. And I'd go up there to church with her, and they'd have old-timey meetings, and I'd get up and testify about the saving power of God. And it wasn't a few years down the road that me and my wife got married, and she wanted to please my mother and daddy, so we went to church. Where I was raised up at for about a year and a half. But I had something hungering in there. I wasn't getting fed. And I started looking for something. We were getting ready to start a family. I wanted to raise my family up in an old-time church. And we began to visit. And God showed us a place. Let me tell you something this morning. I've done some things I shouldn't have been doing. I've lived in sin. Getting married and didn't fix it. See that little old spider over in the corner. You know what? Spiders are pretty frail. They make a big mess. If you get a hold of the right ones, they'll poison you. If they get a bite in you, there's some sins out there that'll bite you, that'll poison you. But all you got to do is when you see that spider, just step on it. Just step on it. If you'll do that, somebody said, I may be preaching the wrong message. I feel like some of us this morning have just old spiders. We get their mess cleaned up and we tuck them away in a corner, and I said, don't you bother nobody.
But you can't reason with sin like that. Once it comes, I preach too long. Once you get cleaned up, the best thing I can tell you to do is just go ahead and kill the sin. Go ahead and kill the spider. If you got something hinders you every week, I can tell you to do is just get rid of it. I don't know what it is, big or small, mean or sweet. Whatever it is, I'd go ahead and get rid of it. I wish that I would have had a message pretty similar to this by some better man of God than me when I was a teenager that would have told me these things. And I'd have done away with some things that would have hindered me for a long time in my life. I want my kids to hear this kind of preaching. Not just for me, but for other men. I appreciate it. They ain't got to be with me all week, but Lord willing, they're going to be here Thursday night. I got a girl, a little girl, two little girls. One of them just turned 12. And the other one's going to turn 9 tomorrow. And neither one of them's ever been saved. I've been in the altar with my 12-year-old 3 times. And every time she's come down, she'd be crying. And we'd cry and cry and cry together. I've had to knock a few people back, trying to get in her ear and assure her that everything was going to be okay. I've had people try to catch her after. I even had some of my own kin folks try to get in her ear and whisper to her that salvation wasn't that much trouble. She ought not be having that kind of time being saved. She ought just be able to get saved just real easy. People's told me I ought to talk her way in. But I tell you what I'm doing. I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. I don't know how many more times I'm going to be in the altar with her. How many more times we're going to cry together. I'd cry every time and I'd beg God to save her. And I've heard her even say, Lord, save me. But something just wasn't right. But I believe there's coming a day that she's going to get in that altar. And God's going to speak to her. And when He gets real and gets down to business, she'll get what she needs. I don't have to tell her how to pray, neither does anybody else. I believe God takes care of that kind of business, don't you? God does the saving. God does the saving. God does the cleaning. And God does the spider killing. He's still able to take care of all of it. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I know that ain't much of preaching. That ain't much of a message. That's what I had this morning. I appreciate so much just the privilege to preach. Privilege to preach at a camp meeting. What a great blessing. That's all I got, brother.